veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to Hour 2 of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. I want to thank you to Sean and Midday Mobile for handing over the mic to the Marines who've landed, so to speak. And so we welcome you again to the Scuttlebutt Network, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we are excited to be broadcasting from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama on Mobile Bay. A beautiful day out here, great day to come.
Awesome. And, it's unbelievable.
And visit the battleship. And we got a great hour coming up for you, but first I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make this show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And again, thank you to all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And always, you can check us out on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. Our regularly aired shows are up on the FM Talk 106.5 app, the super app that Dalton loves to talk about.
Oh, heck yeah. He did a good job with it, too.
Oh, it is fantastic. And, of course, you can always catch Tom's Tirade on demand at castbox.fm. Coming up later this hour on SBN, we're going to be joined by a congressman from the 1st Congressional District, Mr. Jerry Carl. He's going to give us the latest on the happenings for our veterans and military from inside the Beltway. Hey, but first, it's always great to be joined on SBN by Mr. Nick DeMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Hey, Nick, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for all that you do for our veterans, military, and our first responders.
Actually, it's Nick and Pete.
Woo! Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh, we're going to blow out the tubes on this thing.
Yeah, I tell you what.
You get both of those mouths from the South on board.
We got the two-for-one deal. This is the bonus.
Two-for-one deal. There you go, baby. Special.
There you go. Well, hey, guys, it's great to have you on board. Yeah, we're rolling into the holidays. What's going on in the Panini Pete empire of food?
All kinds of great stuff. Yeah, we're gearing up for the holidays. It's been awesome. You know, the veterans have been great. I was over at the christening of the USNS Apalachicola, and all those naval officers have been joining us at Squid Ink and eating a lot, and that has been fantastic. We're just gearing up. Business is brisk. We're trying to fight through all the minutiae of insurance and building and plans out on the causeway, but we are forging forward.
Well, that is absolutely awesome. I know, as I mentioned, we're rolling into the holidays, and I know one of the big things that folks want to do is they want to be able to get some of that gumbo or some of those favorites that they were able to get at Ed's. Can they still get out and get those and bring them home for the holidays?
What, at Ed's, the place that's burnt down on the causeway?
We're selling
gift cards for all the places. Retail is great. We got the beignet mix, which we're also donating all the proceeds of that to the PR Foundation, which does benefit military charities as well as adults with developmental disabilities and no-kill animal shelters. So come on out and buy some gift certificates, or if you need to get some good swag, we got some great new shirts out. But right now, that kitchen is currently inoperable.
And our gift cards, you can use our one gift card in all of our brands, which is Panini Pete, Sunset Point, or Squid Ink.
Outstanding. So are y'all rolling out any good yummy stuff that's special just for the holidays?
A lot of great cocktails are coming out.
There you go. Tom perked up when you said that.
Winter cocktails are coming out, our fall menu stuff, those warming intoxications are great. And then as far as the food goes, we're doing a little more hearty stuff. We're hitting the seasonal stuff, a little more of the starch and the pumpkins and the sweet potatoes and the things that are abundant this time of year.
I got to go.
To be honest, we have a lot of people coming down for the holidays, seeing their family and a lot of college kids, and they are looking for beignets, turkey panini, snapper throats, the Cadillac burger. All the classics, they're just selling like crazy now because you have so many people that don't get them year-round.
Well, now, for folks that may not be familiar with all the locations that you have, because I know you mentioned you got one card and go to all the different locations. Tell us real quick about what you got out there.
Go ahead, Nick. You're good with the fine print.
if we could take a minute, I'd like for Pete to tell you a little bit about we're trying to do a little gift of giving here, especially during the holidays, and we have something going on very near and dear to our group about a special young man that we're doing a project for. I'd let him to actually tell you about real quick if we could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, John Stewart is a young man that works with us in Fairhope. He's stricken with some developmental disabilities. He was a special ed student there through Fairhope. And our PR Foundation, which is myself, Pete, and Robert, is the PR, one of my culinary school roommates. We have this foundation, and we're looking to build him a new house. His dad was a Vietnam vet, double amputee. His mom was also afflicted with some developmental disabilities. Both of his parents have since passed. He's living independently. He actually just got married to one of his, you know, elementary school sweethearts. And you talk about somebody getting the most out of life, this young man has exceeded every expectation and all odds. But the dwelling that he inherited from his family is in extremely rough shape. It's unsafe. It's unhealthy. And we're raising money. So you can go to prfoundation.net, where there's a link on our Facebook. And we're doing donations. All the money, all the proceeds from the beignet mix go to contribute to that, as well as the sale of our Ghost Train community blonde ale. We're doing $3 a can for that. Just if you feel so driven, we'd love to just drop off a donation or go online, prfoundation.net, or on our Facebook page and give us a little Christmas cheer. Would be great.
Help us build a house, please.
There you
home
go.
Sweet home, Alabama.
And Pete, I would assume that those donations would be tax deductible if they go to the foundation.
Yes, it's a 501c3, totally legit. And we underwrite everything, myself and Robert. All of our administrative expenses, you know, from tax work to websites and all that stuff, we underwrite all the expenses. So if you give $5, then we give $5. If you give $5,000, we'll give that too.
That sounds great. Sounds great. You know, a great thing to give. Of course, you know, we had Cyber Monday, and yesterday was Giving Tuesday, so we can double up on Wednesday.
Double up Wednesday.
There you go. Double down Wednesday.
There you go, guys.
There you go. Hey, so Nick, go to the fine print. Tell us about all the other locations that you got out there where folks can come and enjoy.
Well, the fine print is pretty easy to read. You got Sunset Point in Fairhope, which is one of the hottest new restaurants when we first opened up by AL.com. We've got Squid Ink, was just voted most innovative menu.
102 Dolphin Street.
And then we have, of course, Panini Pete, 13 years in business.
13? How many? 16.
And,
come on, man. And just, read the fine print.
Like, I was about to say, put the glasses on, Nick.
Awards, you know. 100 things you got to eat before you die in Alabama, and the list goes on and on. And then we keep forgetting where Tom gets his haircut, Mobtown proper.
Mobtown, yes.
And we're working on a whole lot of other stuff. You know, we're not sitting around, you know, saying we're very blessed to have the greatest business on the world, you know, as far as what we do. And we're pushing forward to do some other things. So, you know, Panini Pizza and Pasta is literally a pasta string away from opening up.
That sounds great. Hey, so real quick, give us the information on where folks can go if they want to donate and where they can find out more information about the food empire that is Panini Pete.
Yeah, if you go to prfoundation.net, you can go to chefpaninipete.com, or you can go on Panini Pete's Facebook, and there'll be links there. But we appreciate it. You can read about the foundation, how it started, what we work on, some of the things we've already done. I know, Tom, you were out there. Brian Knight got proper today, and he's the skipper of the Fight or Die veteran rowing team that rows across the Atlantic. You know, we were able to give them a check for $13,000 last year. That was pretty crazy, or year before last. But you know, those are some of the great things we do for veterans charities and community stuff. So
outstanding. Well, yeah, you guys are always plugged in. Into that, not only here locally, but really around the world, Pete. So, hey, we appreciate you coming on board with us and sharing what's coming up. Hey, if we don't get to chat with you, you guys have a great Christmas and New Year.
You as too, well. Man. You too. Go USA. Go veterans, man. We appreciate you guys.
Outstanding.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate what you do.
Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, Tom. We love you.
All right,
Tom.
All right. Oh, goodness. Hey, on the other side of the break, we're going to have some folks with a unique Forging a Difference experience. So this will be an interesting one when we return to the Scuttlebutt.
Trained in combat, hand to hand.
Check your trim set, check your no-go steering arm maneuver. Diamond there I go, a low transition, right turnout. 83, diamond out there, 16, let's
turn him up. It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, broadcasting from the fantail of the battleship here on Mobile Bay. And we're honored to be joined on SBN by Mr. Jerry Gardner and Britt Barnes from Forging a Difference. Jerry, Britt, welcome to SBN, and thank you for all that you're doing for our veterans.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I know you've got an event that's coming up this Saturday right here at the battleship. Let's jump right in. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, no, thanks for asking. So we've got a what we're calling a knife-making grudge match, which is going to feature five former Forge and Fire champions and contestants. The purpose of the event, which will start here at 9 o'clock on Saturday and wrap up about 4, is just to help raise funds for our nonprofit called Forging a Difference, where we use knife-making and blacksmithing to serve the veteran and active duty law enforcement first responder communities.
Well, I mean, that is, I think that's probably one of the most unique fundraising events that I have ever heard of. And so I assume this is going to be open to the public. Folks can come in and watch.
Absolutely. And they do not need to be there their entire time. If you just want to be there just for maybe an hour or even just 5 minutes, it's a suggested donation of $5 at the door. And veterans and active duty and law enforcement are free. But if you would like to enter the raffle to win one of the blades that's being made, again, you'll have to do the $5 to enter the raffle. And all those funds are going directly to our nonprofit.
Now, what's the focus of the nonprofit? What are you looking to do to assist our veterans through the nonprofit?
Yeah. So what I've discovered throughout the years is that the knife making in particular tends to connect with some veterans, active, just people in a different way that I've never really quite understood and still don't necessarily understand, but I just know it does something. And so through a couple of different people that I've had, I've got to do this. And so it's become a passion project of mine and just putting it together and trying to really get this thing off the ground.
Now, with what you do you do instruction and teaching when it comes to knife making?
Yes, absolutely. So our class size, to put in perspective, is somewhere about like 8 or 9. And as they come, a lot of times what we do is what we call the 12-hour intro to knife making class, which is either over a period of 2 days or over 4 weeknights. Say if it's like a Monday night, before one Monday nights in a row. And we walk through the entire knife making process from the forging to grinding to sharpening to putting on wood scale. And so they learn the entire process. And through that process, what you find is that that group tends to kind of get to know one another, talk, and kind of almost like this informal community is built around this knife making process.
That is awesome. So is it just for veterans, or is it open to the general public or veterans' families?
Yeah, so it is right now the Blacksmith Experience, which is a for-profit. And so it is just anyone that wants to come. And then often just through that, I have veterans, and sometimes we have just veterans-only events that we've hosted in the past. But generally, it's a mixed group. But definitely those that I know that, say, maybe are dealing with different things, trying to connect those with other veterans, say maybe it's PTSD or whatever it might be. Just try to be intentional about making those connections and, again, just developing that community all around based upon through the knife making. So
outstanding. Well, with veterans, you never really know what they're going to plug into, you know, and what will help in some of the things they might be going through. But Britt, I wanted to. It's great to have you here.
No, it's great to be here.
You've been on one of those shows where they make you like they'll give you like the hub of a wheel or something and say make a knife out of it, right?
That's right. I was on season 7, episode 25 of Forged in Fire. I actually represented first responders in the law enforcement side. I'm a retired federal agent. I did 30 years in federal law enforcement.
Thank you for your service.
No, absolutely. It's my honor, honestly. I did 20 years with the United States Border Patrol, and then I did 10 years with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And when Forged in Fire contacted me, they were adamant that they had an episode that they really thought I would fit well in, and turns out that I was competing with a guy who worked at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with the first responders, and then we were against a retired fire captain and a current EMS chief out of Florida. And so the Fort Campbell, Kentucky kid went out round one, the EMS chief went out round two, and it was the retired Fed against the retired fire captain in the finale. And we built a Halligan bar, which is a firefighter entry tool. It's also used in law enforcement as an entry tool. We call it the keys to the city. And we forged a Halligan bar for the finale weapon.
That is awesome. So you got some experience in the type of competition that we're going to see this.
Everybody coming has been on the show, and being on the show is not like, you know, I tell people all the time that what you're going to do in like Jerry's shop or my shop, it's not what the show is all about. Time very quickly, the stuff that we turned in round one is not stuff that would ever leave my shop. The quality's not. I mean, it's all about just making it as fast as you can and functional.
Right. Or not making it and having it shatter or something like that.
And that happens. You know, steel is a fickle mistress. And if you treat her just one mistake, and sometimes she'll leave you in the dust. And that's really the truth of it.
So if somebody really wants to come out to watch the event this weekend, what's the time frame from start to finish?
So the time frame is we're going to be starting at 9 o'clock. Actually, we've got the Army is going to be coming in with a Black Hawk at the right now. We're scheduling for about 9 o'clock right now. That'll be our kind of kickoff, and then the actual competition lasts from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and then at 2 o'clock from 4 o'clock, the public is going to have an opportunity to vote on their most favorite knife. And we're going to have a little award for those for the guy that actually wins the best knife.
So is it going to be like style points, or are you going to be chopping like pigs in half, or what are we going to do?
We're going to find a small child. No, sorry. So we're looking for some volunteers.
There you go.
No, we're not going to test a knife. It's just going to be everyone is just going to vote on what they think is best, because what people think is good to them may not be good to others. But we're just going to go and let the public vote.
So I know, Britt, you mentioned that you had to make a certain type of knife in your competition. Is this going to be freestyle, or is everybody working basically within the same parameters?
You're going to have to come and find out. So I can't divulge all the information right now, but it's going to be good.
There you go. Yeah. A little tease there.
Right,
great.
Right.
Well, hey, where can folks go if they want more information about the event or about your nonprofit?
Yeah. So a couple different ways you can go about that. Our for-profit is called theblacksmithexperience.com. That'll have a couple links to go. And then we also have our nonprofit, which is called Forging a Difference. And I do want to add one other thing, too, is that if you do want to come, we have an opportunity on Friday night. It's going to be an informal catered dinner at the shop. You get a chance to do a meet and greet with the Forge and Fire guys from 6 o'clock to 7:30. So if you want to just kind of have that opportunity, just to kind of hear their story, a little bit about them, you know, please sign up for that as well.
They can
do that online. That's correct.
Now, where you mentioned the shop. Where is the shop
located? Yeah. So we have two shop locations. The one that we're going to be hosting is going to be in Daphne. It's going to be on Austin Street, and all that information is online. And we definitely would love to have you. We still got room for about another 40 people. So
now, where's your other location? Do you have one on Mobile County and then one on the Eastern Shore? If folks are interested in attending or coming for your classes.
So the classes are being held right now currently in Daphne, mostly on weeknights and weekends. And then we have a new location in Robertsdale, and that is in the Industrial Park, really close to 54 and 59.
Great. Well, it was great to have the two of you on, Jerry. Brett, the event is this Saturday, 9 o'clock here at the Battleship.
Yes, sir.
It's just me out on the grounds, right?
Yes, sir, right by the pavilion area.
Outstanding. Well, thank you so much for coming and joining us, sharing what's going on out there, and thank you for your service to our veterans.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, absolutely. Hey, on the other side of the break, Congressman Jerry Carl will join us from the swamp. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
We'll expect sunny skies this afternoon with temperatures in the lower 70s.
This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today, and we are privileged to be broadcasting live from the battleship USS Alabama here on Mobile Bay.
And again, man, I didn't bring my rod and reel.
Oh, I tell you what, it is a perfect day to be out.
It is awesome, you know, and it's just great out here. I figured it would be real cold today, and we would have a lot of wind here across the fantail of the ship and all,
no.
But it's just awesome. I mean, you stand out there long, son, you're going to get sunburned.
Oh, yeah.
You better be careful with your ball in.
There you go. It would be a great day to just sit out and relax. Or go and drop a line in.
Hey, don't you know? Yeah. I'm sure there's some big and fishes out there around this big and boat.
This is
the biggest bass boat I've ever been on.
Hey, you want to jump into the sponsors there? You got them?
Yeah, I think I'll try to find them here in a second. We've got the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, and it was a pleasure having Miss Brooks on board here with us today, bringing us some new and very important information. Ed Seafood Shed, which will be back up and running here pretty soon, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, which they are, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
And, of course, we were scheduled to have Congressman Jerry Carl on with us, but I understand he is a little under the weather and is not going to be able to be with us. But one of the topics that I wanted to discuss with him is in this latest round of the National Defense Authorization. Now, the House has already voted on it. They passed it. It's over in the Senate now, and it's one of those things that is on their must-do list. Obviously, they've got to pass the bill to fund the military.
Yeah, how far down the line is that on their must-do list?
Well, they've got quite a few things on the must-do list.
You know.
And part of the problem, Tom, is so much is surrounding this Build Back Broke bill,
right. Broke bill
that
yeah.
That they're wanting to pass, which is the socialist utopia bill. That there might be some brinksmanship, I guess you could say. Some folks might say statesmanship when it comes to how these bills are going to come out. But
right,
one of the interesting things about the Defense Authorization Act, Tom, is they've actually put in there, and this is a topic we've talked about for probably 10 years,
right?
But
right.
It is the fact that they want this bill would require women to register for the Selective Service, just like they now have.
Goodness.
You know, men have to do it once they reach 18, I think.
That's in the bill too this time, right?
That is in the bill. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to survive, because
the Senate has to go through its machinations and come up with a bill, which then might come back, and then the House would have to vote on the changes. They'd have to reconcile it
right. In
some way. But you know, and you and I have talked about this before. You know, there are really two sides to this. If you want all of this equality, and you know, between the sexes, well, yeah, okay. Obviously, you want women to register
sure.
for Selective Service, register
yeah.
for the draft. If they want to have all the rights and privileges and serve and everything, well, then they should be. I guess in danger of being called up, I guess, depending on how
right,
you want to look
right.
at it.
Like all the rest of us.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, now we haven't had a draft in decades.
Right.
We have an all-volunteer military force. But, the challenge that we face here, Tom, and it's not so much a question of equality. To me, it's more a question of what type of society do we want to have.
That's going to change it.
Well, you know, to wave the equality flag is one thing. But when you start looking at, you know, if you have to call up our young men to go off and fight.
Right.
That's one thing. When you start calling up, and I've got three daughters. If they want to go serve, let them do it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to really sway them one way or the other. I really don't want the government to be calling up one of my daughters to go and serve because some politician has gotten us in some quagmire somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And, you know, and that is so true. And as you said, we have kind of tiptoed around this subject. Sometimes we tap dance right in the middle of it.
Last 10 or 12 years. Sometimes
but,
you
I mean,
square dance all
oh,
over
hell
it,
yeah,
Tom.
I'm good at it. But, I mean, you know, if you want to be equal, just taking it from one perspective. If you want to be equal in everything, you want equal pay, and you want to be equal with a man, then you got to, you know, you got to step up for the draft. Then you're going to have to, you know, take a chance on going in service.
Right.
Like we all did, you know.
Well, again, I just, like I said, and my ex-wife, served.
Right. Yeah,
but that was her choice. She decided there was a career for her in the military, the Army.
Right.
I mean, she wanted to go in. She wanted to study infectious diseases, and that was one of the only places at the time.
Yes.
Where you could do it was in the Army at Fort Detrick. Yeah, that was before we were sending money to China and letting them do the research that we can't do.
Yeah, stirring up stuff in a little farmer's market in China.
Oh, well, obviously it was just in the bats, Tom.
Oh, yeah, okay, right, yeah.
Bats. But you know, I mean, that was her choice. And I just, as a parent of three girls, I wouldn't want them...
No,
to be called up. Now, like I said, if they wanted to volunteer.
That being said, though, Cal, I would think that there's a percentage of the ladies that would stand in line and be the first to go for that. But then I think the largest percentage of them say, that's not the equal part that I wanted to be involved in.
Oh yeah, it's equal up to a certain extent.
Right.
And then no, I don't really want to do that. You know, my thing is. I guess my part is the registration side of it, because again, you know, after 9/11, we saw a tremendous surge of patriotism,
and I'm sure
I don't know the percentages, but it was probably both men and women
who
said, "Look, I'm going to join. I want to go serve my country." Now, 20 years later, we can look and say, "Well, you know, was it worth it to go and do what we did?" I mean, you know, and one of the other topics I wanted to talk with Jerry about. Was the fiasco in Afghanistan, and if we're ever going to get any accountability.
Right.
But,
right.
you know, we still had folks who came and did, you know, they said, I want to serve. I want to make a difference. Again, both men and women. But the difference there is we weren't calling them up. We weren't saying, nope, your number is up.
Right,
we weren't doing the draft dodging thing.
Right. Well, in our last, few, we can't call them wars. I guess you would call them... These military police operations that we've been involved with, the guerrilla warfare, they still didn't call it war. But, everybody just volunteered.
Right.
And, you know, and I knew even myself back in the 50s and 60s when I went in, I knew they were going to be coming after me. So I just went ahead and went into Corps anyway and got it out of the way.
Right. Well, of course, there's also that. And the fact that the judge told you it was either go in or...
Shh. Right.
You're not supposed to talk about it. He's not supposed to tell about that.
Anyway, hopefully we'll be able to talk with Jerry in the next few weeks about what's going on up there. You can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Silent Night, Holy Night, when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
The year was 1968. The Cold War was raging and the summer of love was waning. Social unrest in the United States and uncertainty in global politics were at the forefront of many in the nation and around the world. It was silent Christmas Eve for three of our nation's veterans crammed into quarters that would make a manger look majestic. Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and William Anders, the crew of Apollo 8, were hurling across the stark black and white terrain in the cold and foreboding lunar surface. For you low-informed snowflakes out there, that would mean the moon. As they careened across the void of space, an audience of over a billion people were listening intently back home on Earth in what was probably the most profound Christmas prayer ever given by any member of the human race. These astronauts read the first 12 lines of the Bible to a world united and captivated as they orbited the moon, simultaneously streaming the first live television pictures of the lunar surface to what could be categorized as the single largest audience of humankind to date. To put it in perspective, Facebook, the social media giant and flagger of all things conservative, today boasts of about 3 billion subscribers. So to say that the broadcast was must-see is an understatement. The flight of Apollo 8 was largely forgotten in ensuing decades, and its importance was lost in the wake of the triumphant landing of Apollo 11 and the miraculous return of Apollo 13. Even though it was the first time that human beings had journeyed beyond Earth orbit and traveled to another world. Yet, in many ways, the flight has had a greater influence on human history. Of course, it was the first time that human beings had escaped Earth's gravity, but it was also unique in the way that the astronauts used their bully pulpit to advocate for the American vision of moral individuality, religious tolerance, and mutual respect, all upon the backdrop of our first glimpse of our shared home, the precious blue planet that we call Earth. despite being overshadowed by subsequent missions, many who participated in and chronicled the space program consistently referred to Apollo 8 as the most important. There is the obvious reason that it was the first to reach another world, but it was also significant in other ways. For the first time, the power of television and the media was demonstrated more clearly than ever before, a fact not lost on those of us suffering from the scourge of the modern-day media. Decades before cable news, social media, and live streaming, the television camera aboard Apollo 8 put nearly every person on Earth in the spacecraft orbiting the moon. History was no longer something to be viewed in retrospect. It was now live and would be seen as it happened. Moreover, Apollo 8 did not happen in a vacuum. Well, technically it did. But figuratively, the mission was part of a much broader spectrum of events that were occurring throughout the world at the time. In the midst of the Cold War, and no, snowflakes, that doesn't mean it was fought in the winter. Apollo 8 laid out the differences between the collectivist vision of Soviet society and the rugged, individualistic, freely religious American system. Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin proclaimed that he saw no God in space. Conversely, the crew of Apollo 8 saw him everywhere, and they were free to proclaim it. I only wonder if the cynical desire of the now defunct Soviet Union to deny the spiritual magnificence of the universe may have contributed to its downfall. Monumentally, the decision to read from the Bible was not a dictate from the government which was funding the mission, but one that the astronauts under Borman's leadership made entirely on their own. Not only was their speech not mandated as it would be under a communist government, it was not censored by a state-run press or a progressive technocrat media. One can only imagine how that would be done by the proposed free press and social media outlets in the USA today. None of the astronauts were canceled upon their return. None were blacklisted as progressive wish for today. None were sent to re-education camps, and none had Antifa thugs marching outside their homes. In fact, they returned home as the heroes that they were, having advanced the space program of the United States in the path set forth by a Democratic president, John Kennedy. Furthermore, the flight demonstrated what has become something of anathema in today's world, that competition actually spurs achievement and advances the cause of humanity as a whole. Not only for individuals, but also for civilized nations. That winning is good and that participation trophies are just pacifiers for grown-up losers. Today's educated generation has suffered from a lack of information about the actual history of this great nation and its rightful place as a shining beacon of freedom for the world, and how the U.S. space program, which was effectively abolished under the administration of the communist organizer Obama, set the pace in the eventual downfall of the Soviet Union. Apollo 8 was a remarkable, daring mission, the first to use the awesome and largely untested Saturn rocket to propel humans outside of Earth orbit. It was given a green light because NASA wanted to beat. That's right. Beat the USS or any race to the moon, having heard that the communists planned to fly two men around the moon by the end of 1968. The week-long journey to the moon also marked a crucial moment in both America and world history. In America, Apollo 8 marked a positive moment in what had been a year marred by violence and destruction. The assassinations of Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King, along with rioting, looting, social unrest, and racial tensions, were in many ways, quote, canceled by the flight and started the end of the culture revolution of the 60s. On a larger scale, the mission illustrated just how valuable and fragile our planet is to the human race. Prior to Apollo 8, no human had ever seen the Earth from out there. Suddenly, we could see just how priceless, fragile, and unique Earth is to the human race, and we were brought together in awe of what Almighty God, not the authoritarian state, had created. As we enter the Christmas season, let us remember that there are still heroes in this world, those who are not afraid to risk their lives for something greater than themselves, that with faith, anything is possible, and that there are only two people that have given their lives so that you can live, the men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces and Jesus Christ. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Tom, great tirade, great show.
I want to thank
Sean and all the folks here at the Battleship for a fantastic day. Dalton, thanks for all your help. And it's great to be able to still get on the radio and talk about the things that are important, Tom.
So far in this country, we could still do that. I don't know how much longer that's going to last.
There you go. Hey, remember, hero is not a four-letter word. God bless America. We will catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!